If you do have the scriptures there, when we're to looking at our church family reading, which we've been going through in Ephesians 5, starting at verse 6, it says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such thing, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Children, live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it says, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Friends, as you're reading that scripture, I don't know if you noticed that the light shines on the darkness. And we're reminded that we need to expose things and the light exposes things. And as we share now around the supper table, we're going to be reminded of that. And I want you to reflect in your life where the light may need to shine and where darkness may need to be confessed and brought forward to God. Jesus was in John 13 with his friends around a table where he actually tells them that he says in verse 8, he says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me." And so we're reminded here as we share around the table that the light exposes things in our life and we need to bring them to the Lord. But the great news is that He has, that we can be washed by Him. And we remember this in our time together. If you're a member of His, you've been washed and we're clean. And the scriptures remind us to keep coming to the Lord and let Him expose and let the light shine in on our life. And so He says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me." This is a meal for Christian people, for those that trust that Jesus has washed you of those things. And a chance for us to reflect in our life what things we need to bring before Him and allow Him to change and bring transformation in our life. So I'll give you a moment to think of that and things that the light needs to shine on in your life. And then in a moment I'm going to lead us in a prayer of confession. And then I'll ask our servers to come forward and then distribute the bread and the juice. Now, there's also gluten-free if you need that. And if you can't have grape juice, there is water as well. But remembering, this is for people who are members of Christ's body and a great meal that we can celebrate and thank Jesus for and bring thanks to God for. But take a moment to consider your life and the things that you might need to bring before Jesus before we remind each other in this meal what we have in Him. Our friends, as those things come to your mind and as the light shines, will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the light of the world and that you shine in the darkness and that you called us to be lights and shine in the darkness as well. And Father, thank you that we can come together around this meal now and be reminded that you are the light. But we know that in our life, there are areas which we haven't let your light shine in. We've kept them hidden and maybe darkened, and shame has covered them over. And Lord God, we want your light to expose that in our life now. We want to bring that before you, and we want to confess before you and bring anything that isn't in the light to the light, and look for the forgiveness that you offer and a new start. And so, Father, we confess and bring those things for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing, as you said in John, that a friend, the greatest love is that a friend will lay down his life. And Lord Jesus, we remember that now, and we thank you for that. And we praise you that we can come to this time knowing that you are a gracious Lord who can give us forgiveness and give us a new start in your name. And this we pray. Amen. If you hang on to your bread and your juice, and in a moment I'll encourage us to take that together as we reflect and remember this time. Our Lord Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." And he said that to his followers here in John 13 and John 15. He was going to show them his love, which was end on a cross. And we remember, and so take this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him. And friends, drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Emily. Make me an offering. Make me bring some new wine. And I pray today that the Lord may help you see what new wine he may bring from you in your life, in your ministry, your family. We're going to look at persecution today, and thank you for being willing to go to different tables. We're going to take a little bit of a geographical perspective of persecution over the world. But first, we're going to read the passage that comes from John 15. And look, thank you, Trent, for letting me pick this one, because it focuses on something I'm quite passionate about, and that is helping the needy, whether it's Compassion or World Vision or Open Doors, the Voice of the Martyrs. These are people who are part of the church, and the passage today encourages us to think about the fact that persecution does occur, and what do we do about it? Let's just read the passage together. John 15, verse 18 down to 16, but we're not going to read all of it. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own, as it is. You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours. They will treat you in this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." We're just going to stop there, because I've a fairly simple message today, and you'll find a little outline in your bulletin. And the questions I ask are simply, does persecution exist, and what is our response to it? And to kick it off, yeah, but look, just to give you a little bit of some facts. All over the world today, now this is every month, 285 Christians are killed. 104 are abducted. 180 Christian women are raped, sexually harassed, or forced into marriage. 66 churches are attacked. 160 Christians are detained without trial and imprisoned. So there's some things, some sobering facts there for us to think about. And we've been talking about Jesus being the vine, and we're the branches. And as we think of ourselves as the branches, we're interconnected not just with the family here, but the family of God overseas. And my prayer and hope for you today is that you don't just think of these as facts to consider, but you think of how you can respond. We're going to watch the first clip now. What a stirring testimony, and I love the connection of his forgiveness to God's love. He realized how much Jesus loved him, and he was willing to forgive those who attempted to kill him. Well, we just sang about Jesus wanting to bring new wine out of us and make me an offering. The man put his life on the line and he nearly lost it, but praise God, he brought him out of it. That's Nigeria, and Nigeria is a real hot spot in in the Christian world. And if you want to pray specifically for Nigeria, I think some interesting stories come out of Nigeria. There's some other stories that might encourage you to think about praying, and they concern the disciples. Now, the disciples were keen to follow Jesus, and they would put their hand up and said, "Jesus, we won't deny you, we will follow you," and they wanted to give everything to him. And then Jesus said to them in various places, "You must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him." And all of them bar John died as a martyr. All of them died for burning, crucifixion, beheading. Terrible things were done to the disciples. And Jesus said, as we just read in John, let's go back to John here. Jesus said, "No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also." And the paradox is, where persecution is, there's great growth in the church. You see what's happening in Iran, what's happening in Nigeria, and even China. China probably to the greatest extent, that's where the church is growing the most. And it's a great encouragement for us to pray for our brothers and sisters as we think of those stories. Look at what Jesus said. Now, okay, in John didn't get everything down, but he also in Matthew, we see what he said about persecution. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men hate you, when they humiliate you and insult you because of the Son of Man. Rejoice, for your reward is great in heaven." Now, I don't know about this fellow Habila or other Christians, but the great thing is God loves us so much, he's going to bless us with far more than what we give up. Whether it's houses or families or friends or property, he's going to bless us with far more in heaven. And that's something to encourage us with. Also in Luke, Jesus tells us, and this is answering that question, should we expect persecution? Luke 26, 22 to 28. Jesus said, "I tell you," he's thinking about the previous conversation, but he said, "Look, you've got to love not just your friends and family and stuff, but you've got to love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." This is one of those concepts that we got reminded of in Bible college as an upside-down kingdom concept. It's something that the world doesn't do, but the Lord wants us to do to make us be a difference and make him be glorified. 1 Peter 3:18, "Christ died for sins, righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Part of that Habila testimony, the fellow we just saw, reminds us to always look at ourselves, and I like how Trent did communion, to look at ourselves and how far we fall short of God's glory, because when we see that every day in what we say, what we do, what we think, we fall short of God's glory. And we may not have murdered someone or committed adultery or stolen some king's treasure, but we fall short of God's glory. And we're needing his grace and his forgiveness. We're going to look at another little video. Now, we're doing a bit of a continental shift here. This one's about a young lady from Laos. Now, we have missionaries in Laos. And you'll get an understanding of the context that they live in by listening to Juan's testimony. Okay, thank you. And that's, again, from Voice of the Martyrs. There's plenty of material online to look at. And what I've done is copy some things from their website about each country that you have highlighted here. And we're going to spend a little bit of time, maybe 10 minutes, just praying for the church in those particular countries. The Lord said, "Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of you." And there's a special power that God wants to release when we pray for our friends overseas, expressing our love for them. So could you, in your table groups, please pray for your particular country. Those people who are not at a table, please join the table. I think, and can one person read out the summary or parts of it and then spend a bit of time praying? We'll allow 10 minutes for that. We must finish up soon, but just a little plug for Vision Radio devotional, and I really tied in with this message, and I'll just read out quickly this sad stuff, and I hope this never happens to you. James the Greater was killed with a sword. Luke was reportedly hanged from an olive tree in Greece. Doubting Thomas was buried in India. Philip was crucified. Matthew was stabbed in the back. Bartholomew was flogged to death in Armenia. James the Just was thrown off the southeast pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem, then clubbed to death by a mob. Simon the Zealot was crucified by the governor of Syria. Judas Thaddeus was beaten to death with sticks in Mesopotamia. Matthias, who replaced Judas, was stoned and beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. These are sobering truths about our ancestors in the faith, but as you read there, there's lots of bad stuff going on in the world, and it's a reminder for us to be praying for them. We sing ourselves here, you know, there might be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. But that's mixed together with blood and suffering and agony and separation and death. So these words that we sing about are really something that comes to reality by those people overseas who are persecuted. I wonder if they really question all things work together for good. I'm sure they do. But we see the church growing in places like Nigeria and China. And we think of Habila. He's just glorifying God and choosing to forgive because he knows that God gave it all and he's willing to give it all for other people and to witness. So going back to the passage, if they persecuted Jesus, expect persecution. We heard a couple of testimonies, and I've got one more to share with you. But before then, there's a couple of passages just to quickly want to look at. And we prayed a little bit this way as we're sharing. We prayed for the believers and we prayed for the non-believers. And Galatians 6:10 says, do good to all people, especially those people who are believers. We've got to do good and show love, not just to believers, but the unchurched. And there's a bit of a challenge to us. I remember it might have been a bit way before Dave's day, and I was pushing him to get this last song sung here today, Brother Let Me Be Your Servant. We'll sing that soon. But Keith Green summarized Matthew 25. He says, if you love someone in my name, you're loving him. We're loving Jesus. And in Matthew 25, it says, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So as we pray for, as we give, as we serve, and maybe some of us will go, we're worshiping God and glorifying him. I pray God would encourage you and the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you as to how you will respond as we watch this last clip. And this is about an unbeliever, but just watch and listen as we watch this little story and then I'll wrap it up. This is set in the context of the Iraq-Iran war. And out of the ones that I looked at, This one affected me the most, and I'd be interested to see what your response is. I still shed tears when I see it, because that's love in action, isn't it? We live here in a place where we can come freely, we can worship, we can have communion, we can think about an AGM, we can meet together for prayer, have kids ministry without fear of persecution. But those guys don't have the basics to survive to start with, or to think about coming to the Lord, but they see love in action by those people with the different mission groups we've heard about. So think about what you've seen today and what you've heard. We are the branches. Jesus is the vine. As we connect with him, we've got a chance. We've got a chance to be a light into the darkness and salt to people who are sick and wounded. Maybe it's through one of these organizations. Maybe it's through someone else. But look into your heart. Look into your heart, ask how God wants you to respond. We're going to sing a song in a moment. Brother, let me be your servant. It's an oldie, but it's asking us to serve the Lord and respond. It says, we are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. Think about the load that these people are bearing. Christians and non-Christians, they will see us as we show love to them. Muslim missionaries are seeing responses happening where love is given, but not being Bible bashed, but love is given and people are seeing that, and then opportunities are coming. Then the other next verse says, I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we see this journey through. Will you hold your hand out to them? Persecuted church, whether it's someone in prison connected with Kairos or someone overseas, that's what I think God's asking us to respond individually and maybe as a church as we think of mission giving and so on. Tell someone about it. Don't just hold this into your heart. Tell someone about it and respond. And if you want prayer for it, come over here later. There'll be people to pray for.